four statements are made prior to the discourse on the bread and the interchanges between the Lord and the people here. I'd like you just to note those. Look in chapter 6 of John. And just to identify each one, these are brief little statements by our Lord. Four of them here. In verse 5, looks like, I can't even read my verses in this new edition. I'm going to have to get me a larger print one of these days here on this, but I think it's verse 5. Looks like 4 and 5. At the end of verse 5, yes, Jesus says, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" We should notice this is going to be the feeding of the 5,000, walking on the water, and the bread discourse, we'll call it, with exchanges, interchanges between the people and our Lord. And here, Jesus introduced the subject of the loaves. All right, and then look down at verse 10. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." That's the second one. The third one is in verse 12. Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." And then there's one more, and that is in verse 20. After the feeding of the 5,000, you have this event of the disciples going across the water on the sea on the boat, and Jesus comes out walking on the water, and in the midst of the distress there in the water, he says in verse 20, "It is I, do not be afraid." Those are the four statements. They seem, when you look at them like in individually, they seem unimportant, and even some of them seem trivial. And I think that will be, obviously, we can presuppose this, that's going to be a wrong view of this material. We're going to find that actually in these four statements, a remarkable introduction to the heart and core of the discourse on the bread. And we're going to have anticipation here, we're going to have an introduction here, an inviting introduction to the New Covenant Communion Passover. And I'd like to address that then. I call this the Living Bread from Heaven. I have three things that I'm going to deal with based on those four statements today. And they are, first, anticipation of the New Covenant meal, and then participation in the New Covenant meal, and then consolation through the New Covenant meal. And just the whole way I've stated that, you'll see that this is grounded in the fact that Jesus is the living bread from heaven. And as such, he is the focal point of the communion table, right? So let's start with anticipation of the new covenant meal. Look at verses 4 and 5 again here. And we should note a little inference that is made by John. Depends on your translation as to whether you'll see it, but the ESV picks it up very well. Verse 4, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand." Verse 5, lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread?" The connection is made, and John observes the connection is made, that Jesus introduces the theme of the bread and is going to wind up feeding 5,000 here because of the Passover at hand. The connection is being made here between the Passover of the old order and the anticipation of Jesus of the coming new communion Passover of the new covenant people. And notice verse 11 that just showed, we'll just start to show you that a case starts to unfold here. Look at verse 11. As to what Jesus did, let's see, do I have the right verse? Verse 11, Jesus then, this is with the 5,000 seated there, it says, Jesus took the loaves. This is just an observation by John, the recorder, narrator, right? Jesus took the loaves, When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those that were seated. Now that is a language of, as we know, you just think of how we do communion always, and we're always going to this point about back to the institution, right? This is something, this is language of a pattern that Jesus repeated. All right, he did this like with here in this particular account, and the connection that we've just noted, he repeated it often. It was crystallized into a form that was embedded in the memories of the disciples related to the breaking of bread in the new covenant meal of communion. And you know, like in 1 Corinthians 11, what we say, you know, Jesus in that time when Paul says, I give you what I received. And how the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and distributed it to them. And you know, when you read the account, for example, on the road to Emmaus, and you remember that account, when did those two disciples on the road to Emmaus recognize the Lord Jesus? This is Luke 24, and I'll just mention it to you. But it says that they recognized him in the breaking of bread. And when they go and report it about the risen Lord now, and they go and report it to the others, it says that he became known to us in the breaking of bread. This was something that was embedded on the memories of his people, embedded in the memories of the disciples. He's laying the groundwork for the coming new covenant Passover. And he's anticipating it here, that there is the true bread of life, the bread of this table portraying that true bread of life, which is our Lord himself. And so you see how now, just from what I'm reading earlier, this is driving us right into the middle of this discourse that takes place in John 6, recorded in John 6, and it drives us further right to our table here today. And what do we learn about the table? I want to just mention the first after the introduction, look at the next thing that Jesus said, which seems like a trivial note in verse 10. Have the people sit down? And I just say, if you were looking back at the feeding of 5,000 people, and you were to think of all the things that happened when all those 5,000 people were seated on the grass there and they were fed by the Lord, is that the point that you would recall and record for posterity's sake as to what transpired back there? Jesus said, have the people sit down. This seems like a trivial fact, but it's just thrown out in such bold relief. This is what is identified. What has happened? Jesus sat down on the mountain with his disciples. He's sitting with his disciples on the mountainside, and the crowds come following him. And instead of having them stand at a distance, he invites them to sit with him. And these crowds represent sinners, and we see it all through the account here. They're grumbling sinners, but you can sense the symbolism that's taking place here. Jesus says to the crowds, have them come and sit. He says, sit, come, sit. And he feeds the crowd with the true bread from heaven in symbol. Right? He is the one that is the source of life and bread, eternal life, to sinners in need. And you can see this just starting to unfold, that our Lord is anticipating that. So what does he tell us by this? He's anticipating the welcome that he extends to us. He brings us to this fellowship together. It's not just a meal, right? It's not just a meal. And that's why it's really fitting that when we have communion, some like to talk about the supper as a feast, you know, the communion feast. And I think it's very fitting that it's really just a very simple little symbolic taking of bread and taking of the drink. Because this is more than a meal. The representations of the food is that this is a meal of fellowship where the Lord Jesus says, come into my presence, not at a distance, not standing over there in a distance, but come and sit down at the table with me. And this is very interesting, you know, in Reformed thought, this has been really stressed, and it really comes out in Calvin, the real presence of our Lord with us. This is not only See, this is what's being opened up, starting to open up before us as our Lord identifies Passover in this way and moving ahead as toward the future. This is opened up. He is really present with us. So when you think of our position in post-resurrection, we're like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he's known and he disappears. He's unseen. He's known, unseen. That's transitional, right? We know him in the breaking of bread. He's present with us in the breaking of the bread, though unseen. He is here. In a special way, our Lord Jesus is present with his church. He is really, truly, actually present here with us in a special way. When we sit down at the table, we sit down in fellowship with him, sinners welcomed by the Lord. He says, sit down. He says, have the people sit down. We sit down with him at the table. And this is to gather together with him, welcomed, sinners that we are, for nourishment. And that nourishment is the nourishment unto eternal life. Well, he's anticipating this in this account. Also, we have participation. I just want you to look at the other, a second after the introduction, a second comment that seems very, maybe some might say trivial, right? Gather up, verse 12, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. I mean, you think about it again, if you were, say, what is the importance of that? Gather up the fragments that nothing may be lost. You know, it's interesting to see what people do with this, and there's a magical view that abounds in professing Christianity about the wafers of the communion table. I want to say this is not where it's at, but let's talk about that just for a minute. The magical view is that somehow this bread becomes the actual body of Christ. He's actually present here. We've just said he's really present here with us in the breaking of bread. This view that I'm talking about has a sort of magical view about the bread. And they would say, you know, you can't have any of these fragments drop on the floor. We'd be trampling on the body of Christ. And so therefore, you're going to make these things into little wafers and you'll drop them right into the mouths of people like you're feeding little children, or like maybe worse, you're just feeding a dog, feeding dog. That's the impression, I'm sorry, that I get from that. It's a magical emphasis with a stress on externality. That is not what is in this language of gather up all the fragments. What's the point of it? A couple things I'll just give you as observations here, and we'll let you search out some of this later. You can read further in the other accounts. He gathers up the fragments to reach 12 baskets. Because it's every single account tells us about the feeding of the 5,000 that when they gathered up the fragments, they gathered 12 baskets of fragments. What we have is an interplay between Jesus as the bread, the one loaf, and his people as fragments of bread. What's in the 12, right? What's in the number 12? Why the 12 apostles? Why the 12 baskets, right? They represent the new Israel. The 12 apostles are the nucleus of the new Israel. The 12 baskets, that gathering the fragments together into 12, represents the fact that Jesus is going to bring his people into participation with himself as the true bread of life. And that is what is symbolized in the bread ritual that we have in the communion table. He is forming the new Israel. Now, another phrase that's here, I didn't give you all the verses on that, but in this passage and in others, it mentions exactly the number of loaves. But here I want to stress in this very phrase again, look at that phrase, the last phrase of it, last part of it, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So, you know, again, you just have to, I think we just have to work with something that may seem kind of trivial and what this little fact is. But when you work this through, and notice verse 39 in this same chapter when Jesus is in the middle of the discourse, and notice what he says in this little language here. I'll just pick it up right in the middle. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. This is the formation of the covenant people. How is there going to be a new covenant people formed? Well, Jesus sees to it. It's like a little fact that he throws out in the symbol in the occasion of the feeding of the 5,000 to highlight and hammer this point. He will see to the gathering in of the fragments to form the new Israel. He will do that through his disciples. He is the one that sees to it that there will be that gathering of the new Israel. This is participation in the covenant meal, that we have the participation in the reality that is portrayed in this symbol, in the living bread from heaven. And so he tells us, you know, that we have to trace this all back to this covenant purpose of our Lord and his coming. You know, he says in verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And coming to do the will of the Father, he's fulfilling the covenant, right? We're back in that covenant action again of Christ, fulfilling the mission appointed to him by the Father. And he will certainly and efficaciously call out the new Israel. It is his, and he will do it. Even though there's the context of the unbelief, he says, you grumbling people like Israel in the wilderness, you're just seeking food for the body, you're just seeking the food that perishes. You're not seeking the true food from heaven that endures unto eternal life. You've got your priorities all wrong. You're grumbling. How in that context of grumbling, sinful Israel will there be a new Israel? And just think of John, the whole book of John, earlier chapters, the darkness in which his own are. And we do not receive the light, and we hate the light. How can there be this formation of a new Israel? He tells us the living bread from heaven is the one who will do the work in the mission appointed to him by the Father, and the Father will draw them to himself. That's the context here of verse 44. When we read down, you know, he says, you've all grumbled. And then in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we have participation in the covenant meal, in its reality, and thus now in the symbol of that reality because of the work of our covenant Lord. He has come to form the new Israel, and this is the new Passover. This is the new covenant communion meal. This is a meal of fellowship, sitting down with our risen Lord, with him, welcomed by him, with one another because of the efficacy of his saving grace on our behalf. Now that leads us to the consolation of this, the consolation we have through these elements, the consolation that we have through this symbol that we partake of when we partake of the new Passover. And that is what I just say, that is crystallized or summarized and highlighted in gospel in a nutshell in verse 20, the other phrase I wanted you to look at with me. In the midst of the sea, right? It says, and well, I'll read from 18 down, the disciples, you know, are on the sea, and the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Other gospels tell us the reason Jesus went walking out on the sea, because he saw that they were distressed. As this rough wind is blowing the sea, and they're rowing against this rough wind, in great distress, Jesus comes to them, walking on the water. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that at first when he comes and they see him on the water, when our Lord comes to us, how often this is the case, is it not? His coming to us at first adds stress. They're frightened. Coming near the boat, they were frightened. However, he comes, sometimes intensifying our stress for reasons of his own. But he comes with this word. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. Right? Recorded. I mean, this recorded. All that you would record about somebody walking on the water, Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." So we have that. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's reiterated to us in the Passover meal. These things kind of are like lifted out. They summarize the whole theology, we'll say, of that discourse. And in very simple ways, if you can't get the reading and all of that material, read all through there. You eat this bread and drink of this blood and all of that. That's too hard for us to understand. He says, have them sit down. There's a welcome. He says, he sees to the gathering of the fragments into the new Israel, right? Gathering to that one loaf. He says, in our distress, in our storms of life as we come to the table, right? He says, be not afraid. It is I. I mean, those are great words to hear from our Savior. And we're just directed to him, the gospel in a nutshell. That's our consolation. That's the consolation through the table. That's what the table is all about. See, when it directs us back to the Gospels and the remembrances, we're directed back to this whole picture, and there are various ways that it's summarized. And here's one way that we just see the Lord anticipating, laying the groundwork for that good news that is to which we are pointed by these elements. And that good news is a reassuring news. It's consoling news. It's to comfort us. We have eternal life by faith, he tells us. Let me read some of the key verses before I just close with a word. Look at verse 35. I just want to just highlight a couple of things about the relationship of faith and the promise of eternal life. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. You see, that's eternal life said in a different way, right? And notice that what he says again in verse 40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. What kind of eternal life? You know, you're looking for bread that perishes. You're eating the bread that perishes. Look for the bread that is a bread that endures unto eternal life. That is, it doesn't exclude the body for which we seek bread to have health. He takes the body and soul together in saving us as a whole, and thus saves the whole man through the resurrection. That's his promise to us, to faith. But what he tells us, what's so consoling about this, is that our faith is not the condition like upon which it all depends. Like, well, what if my faith fails me? What if I just don't have enough faith? Because he tells us that is his gift to us. Our faith is itself that which is given. He's, you know, talking about their grumbling and you don't believe, but all that the Father has given to me shall come to me, and they will, none of them will be cast out. What is he doing? He's directing us away from looking at our faith to looking at the object of our faith, right? We look to the Lord Jesus. We center our attention on him, and there we are consoled. There we are comforted. And that's the consolation to which we are directed. And he tells us that in this kind of gathering, come here unto the Lord. Take of these elements, this simple element of this little wafer and this drink of juice. And in these elements, he, present with us, says he will nourish us, he will comfort us through this very participation in this observance at the table with our Lord, our risen Lord. He strengthens our faith. He consoles us and he comforts us. This is the great ministry of the sacrament, communion as well as baptism, to the people of God. And so we have this consolation. Well, let me just say this one word, from a quote from a Dutch writer as a close to this for the moment. And that is, what's the point of all of this put kind of like together when you kind of roll it all into one? I like the way this one writer had put it, and I more or less have it quoted, but paraphrasing. It's that all contradiction may be ended, and that we may firmly believe that we belong to that covenant that stands as a rock. That's where we are directed by this new covenant Passover meal, because Jesus is the true and living bread that came down from heaven to give his life that we may live. Well, that's why we want to sing about his matchless worth. So I have this other hymn. This is the kind of song, and there are others, of course, and we have various ways in which we worship our Lord. This is one of them, and you know, I like the way it starts when it says, you know, oh, could I speak the matchless worth? Because we are going to say in that, I Lord, I praise you, but I know I do not praise you as I fully ought to praise you. But if I could just help me, Lord, to speak your matchless worth, to look to you and honor you. And you are the true and living bread from heaven. And you are that for me. What a joy. So let's sing this hymn before a couple more words about the table.